Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. A lesson on true greatness from the world's leading child evangelist, the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me." Satan is after every one of our children and our grandchildren. And you're naive if you don't understand that. This world system is diametrically opposed to the values that we teach and preach in this or any other New Testament church. It always brings it out in traveling. You see and you hear conversations and you see emphasis and you see values. Seems like we've seen a lot of children in traveling this time. And for the most part, good kids. I mean a high percentage, just really seem to have been taught well, good manners, all that type of thing. But where they're coming from, and if you look at their bodies, and if you look at what they wear, and if you listen to what they have to say, values are coming out that are not in line with this book. And so through education, and education has forced Christian education upon us. When I grew up in school, I remember George C. Clark Elementary. Every morning they would read the Word of God and have prayer. And our Methodist principal would give us the Word of God every morning. And even when you went to the office and you had to have a little reminder that you hadn't done the right thing, they would pray with you and pray for you. Yes, in public school. And then when he had to go away to World War II, his wife took that position, who was also an educator, and she followed through with the same thing. And so Cecil and Patsy Singleton were a great inspiration in my young life to remember the example that they set. Even in junior high, I remember Mr. Fisher, a strong believer in Christ, and he was really high on reading a proverb a day. And so over the PA system, occasionally he would deviate, but every morning you could hear his voice reading from the Proverbs and having a prayer for the day. That's in my lifetime. And yet things have gone off course. Through education, through cultish toys, videos, movies, Harry Potter trash. Cultic. Demonic, music, filthy rap. Satan is after our children. They know that better than a high percentage of them know this. They sing that. They know that. They identify with that. They tattoo with that. Everything in their life is being as a ship would drift away from shore. And the world that I grew up in, I'm not talking about, thank God times change and styles change and things are for the better in many ways, but are they really? Because the Bible said if we gain the world but lose our soul, you've lost it all. And so Satan is after every one of our children and our grandchildren through education, godless education, that leaves out the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to hurt the friends of the great religions of the world. Cultish toys, videos, movies. And I want to say one more time, Harry Potter trash. Demonic trash. If you have any in your house, have a bonfire. Get it out of the house. Out of the house. Find out what your children are listening to on those headphones. Now, if you would, let's go look at some more scriptures. You know, John 3:16 includes children. Jesus never wasted words, and every illustrated message that Jesus had an eternal purpose and a profound truth. He didn't just one day just say, well, I believe I'll do this, and it's off the wall. Everything he said, everything he did, everyone he talked to, a child, a prostitute, the man with the withered hand, the blind man, everything he did still preaches today. Going to Joel chapter 2 verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. Folks, this is God's word. This is Joel speaking. It shall come to pass. God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. I know this seems to be a calm moment, and we have many different seasons in this church, but never mistake the fact that the spirit of revival is in this house, and the spirit of the Holy Ghost is in this room. And God said, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I believe that with every fiber of my being. And he said, it includes your sons and your daughters and young men. Joel chapter 1 verses 1 through 3 said, the word of the Lord that came to Joel the son of Pethuel. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell your children of it. You tell your children of it. Let the church teach. Let the school teach. Let all of us do our part. But you tell your children of it. Tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. Now, this is not the only illustration in this audience, but we have three generations that I've ministered to just in the Sanders family. And now, with Michael graduating and going on to ORU, these are the roots of a church that are meaningful to me. We're always... You got here just in time if you just got here. But I mean, here is a family that my ministry, the anointing of God in my life has had a part with three generations. And it could even be four before it's all over. It will be. So he said, tell your children of it. Let your children tell their children. And you've heard me say it. I desire more than my children to have better than I have. I desire more than to see my grandchildren have better than I have. I desire to see our children and our grandchildren excel whatever we thought we had spiritually. I'm not into this thing of cooling down, dumbing down. Well, they're so sweet, they're so cute. They still need God. They still need Jesus. They still need the Holy Ghost. The greatest thing you can give your child or your grandchild is faith in God. Dennis Lindsay said, I didn't even bother to look at the will when my father passed away, because he said, I know how Dad lived. He gave it all away. But he said he didn't give away something that's the most valuable thing that I received from my father, and that is faith in God and Jesus and the Word of God. You know, you can give your kids $1 million, but not give them faith in God, and you'll send them straight to hell. Because money cannot buy. Things cannot buy. Influence cannot buy. I'm not against things. Not against things. But oh, we must keep the values. I see even Christians with such warped values. Folks, it's not things we're living for. Things are a byproduct of being faithful to God and tithing and giving and doing the right thing and using some business sense with what God places into your hands. But the most valuable thing you can give to your children is faith in God and respect for the things of God. Tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children and their children another generation. Notice the breakdown. Tell your children. Let your children know this so well that they tell their children. and their children another generation. Mama, Acts chapter 2. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Repeating the prophecy of Joel, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. God wants our kids to be spiritual. God wants our grandchildren to know Jesus. God wants our children to have a desire for the house of God and for the things of God. And here's where we have been so naive. We will either expose them to the divine or they will be a part of the satanic. Because kids seek phenomenon. They seek the supernatural. T.L. Osborne said man is hopelessly addicted to reaching out for different experiences, things that he's never experienced before. Acts chapter 2, verse 39, for this promise is unto you and to your children. This is not an adult deal. This is a family deal. The blessed Holy Spirit is not just a mature thing for the super saints. It's for every member of the family. The promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've given you nothing but the word of God this morning. God says there's coming a move of God. There's coming a greater move of God. The only answer to the world we live in. I see all the voices and all the cries that are coming about the war in Iraq. Where are the feminists? Protesting the terrible things that have been done to the bodies of women in Iraq. And we put Saddam on the front page like he's a patron saint, like a kindly grandfather. He's a devil's what he is. Where are the women? Where are the women? Where are the women? Speaking up for women that have been brutalized beyond anything. I couldn't even get into it. Where are those that would speak up for graves of at least a half a million people that have been tortured? And so because every little thing may not be according to our little calculator, you know, we live in a strange world. It just makes all the difference where you place the emphasis. You know, that's not important. Well, it's important here. It's important in our nation. You get put in prison for things like that, put in jail. You suffer consequences that they can catch you and convict you of certain things. So we live in a world of warped values. Strange values. Do you know the majority of America's already forgotten 9/11? They have. Now you may disagree with me, but in traveling, I mean, The majority of it's almost like we don't even talk to me. It didn't happen. We'll change that history like we've changed a lot of other history one of these days. It really didn't happen. No one hated us. Everyone loved us. 3,000 people really didn't die. They just disappeared. We're going to have to wake up and realize there's only one answer to our world. Is it send more planes, more guns, more bombs? I don't have all the answers. But I know one thing. I know that when someone is genuinely born again, when someone is genuinely filled with the Holy Ghost, when the love of God fills their heart, not hatred, when they have a religion of love instead of a religion of hatred, when my God religion, my Jesus religion makes me have more love for my fellow human beings, instead of wanting to kill you and call you an infidel. Now you say, I thought you were talking about children. I'm talking about the world our kids are growing up in. We have so much terror, so much horror, so much bloodshed, and if we don't have enough of it in reality, Hollywood produces the rest. We're shockproof. We're shockproof. And I hate to say it, but it's probably going to take another 9/11 to wake us up a few more days to go back to Jesus, back to the Bible, back to the Word, back to prayer, and back to basics for a few days. It works for a few days. We're shockproof. What's the answer? All right, here's the answer. Simple. A lesson in true greatness. The great this, the great one who's a ball player, the great one who's an actor, the great one who is a business. You know, we're always, who's the greatest? The disciples came and asked Jesus, who's the greatest? And they must have forgotten it, because in the next chapter, the disciples are still complaining about kids. Go to chapter 19 of Matthew. They're still complaining about kids coming to Jesus. They're bothering Jesus. Children should not be taking the time of Jesus. Kids are not the church of tomorrow. Kids are the church of today. And if we don't let them have an experience with the divine, they'll have an experience with the demonic. This is not far out. This is reality. Talk about virtual reality. Talk about virtual reality. Well, a lesson on true greatness. Jesus, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You know what they wanted him to say? You are. Oh, thank you, Jesus. They thought Jesus would turn around and say, oh, you guys are it. Man, you are so wonderful. But they got the shock of their life. Jesus ignored the super saints, and he called a child. Now, if I knew who would do it, I'd call a child today, but that's kind of a shock sometimes to have to come up to a service like this. But what Jesus did, he called a child to him. Called a child to him. Now notice, he called the child. Now he sets the little child in the midst of them. That's a miracle the kid stayed there. The child came, he stayed there. And now Jesus teaches, except you be converted. I believe Jesus led that child to a personal faith. Why would he say be converted? Why would he use a child to say be converted if a child cannot be converted? Well, they're too young to come to Jesus. They're not too young to know everything else. Kids know more sex education than most of you knew when you were 16 years old. And it's not education, it's sewer. And so Jesus teaches, except you be converted and become as little children. Not, I'm a Pharisee. I attend this denomination. I mean, I'm a super saint. I'm a theologian. And as theologians, we understand things that no one else understands. You lesser people will never attain to the height of spirituality that we have attained to. I remember a man that was a pastor of a prominent church here in the city, and I was trying to be nice. I saw him in public, and I said, in fact, years ago, he was one of the pastors that pastored my dad's Baptist church that he attended. And from what I heard, I thought he was preaching the Bible. And I met him one day for lunch with the family. I said, I really appreciate you preaching the word. He looked at me like I fell out of a tree. He was had several degrees. He was a religious politician. He said, what is the gospel? Sarcastic. Not, well, thank you. Could you explain what is the gospel? I said, well, you know, the word of God and Jesus. And, you know, I'm naive enough. I was young enough then to try to explain what I said. And I mean, I never got a colder reception. And my father's a member of his church. My father was on the deacon board. And that day was a chilling experience to me, that you can have all the degrees in the world and know nothing about nothing except how to be a religious politician. And he went right up to the top in the organization where he was headed at that time. That church was a stepping stone to him going to two or three other higher positions. You say, are you trying to bash somebody? No, I'm just telling you, Jesus called a little child. He said, son, let me tell you what life's all about. Let me tell you what Jesus is all about. Okay. Okay, now, son, are you ready to do something? Yes, sir. And so, I don't know how Jesus would lead a child, but he did. I know how I would lead a child today, but I don't know how Jesus would. And so the child was converted, and now Jesus points out the becoming process. And become as little children. See, you're saved the moment you believe, but it's the becoming process. That's why we have to keep coming back to church. That's why we need to read the Word of God again. That's why we prayed yesterday, but we need to pray today. We're in the becoming process of spiritual maturity. You're saved the moment you believe. But as John Osteen said so wisely years ago, your spirit is brand new, but nothing necessarily has happened in your mind and in your body. So that's where this massive renewal process takes place. The renewing of our mind. Our body is coming into line with divine order. We won't eat too much or not enough. You can become zealous in strange ways. But he said, you'll not enter into the kingdom of heaven except you be converted and become as little children. Folks, this is basic 1, 2, 3, 4. For whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now wait a minute. Jesus could have said Abraham, our father of faith, is the greatest. He could have said Moses, the great deliverer, and Moses was a great man. Enoch, who walked with God, and so intimately walked with God that he was not. And God took him. No, not Enoch. Joshua, the mighty warrior. The mighty warrior that led and was such a dynamic leader. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. No, that's not the one. Elijah, the Tishbite, who challenged and changed a queen, a king, and a nation. One man. And I'm looking for some men and women today that can change America. America needs some changing today. Our laws need some changing. Our morals need some changing. Our movies need a lot of changing. Elijah the Tishbite walked in, and what he said and what he did shattered, dynamically affected the king on the throne and the wicked queen Jezebel, and cleaned out 450 elite prophets. Think about it. Or Elisha, the double portion man, powerfully anointed. David, man after God's own heart. Joel, the great end time prophet. We've already read from him in this service. No, Jesus called a little child, little no name, no claim to fame, a child. Because you see, when you start with a child, you start with the rest of the world. When you start with a child, you start with a world changer. When you start with a child, you start with someone that can rise above tradition and someone who is not enshackled and chained to all the negative thinking of everything around them, called a little child. So, notice who was invited, a child. And what did he do? He responded quickly, and he stayed there with Jesus. Notice he came to Jesus. Notice how quickly this child seemed to respond. He was converted because his heart was tender. He started the becoming process of becoming, showing. Because the sooner, the quicker, the better that a child comes to Jesus, the better it is. They say there's a hardcore statistic. I've checked on it as best I can. That 80% of the people that are converted in this life, it happens between the age of 4 years and 14. That means we see quite a few miracles around here because we've seen some in the evening time. I mean, we've had some 80-year-olds and 70s. So that means God's helped us to see some real miracles. And I mean, that's happened. We had one lady, 86 years of age, about 18 months ago that came forward. Do you realize what a statistic miracle that is? For that, and she's a soul. But 80% of young people who come to Jesus, it's between the age of 4 years and 14 years of age. Oh, they're just kids. Yeah, they're kids. Kids that are the adults of tomorrow. You might as well face the fact we're all ex-kids. We were all a little child, and I can still close my eyes and instant replay what I heard time after, I wished I had that good a memory about everything, but I can close my eyes and I can hear messages that were preached and I can see people coming to Jesus. And it affects me to this day, things that I saw when my mother brought me to church. We didn't have children's church then. But things that I saw when I came to church, ministers that I heard, my home pastor that affected my life. I'm going to tell you, you know, we are so Hollywood oriented that if everything's just not, you know, everything's just not, we're so entertainment oriented. There's nothing wrong in just sitting and listening and absorbing and let your heart hear. It just has to be so loud that your eardrums are going freaking out. Are so bloody and gory that, oh, is that all you can come up with? There's a value in coming to church. And there's a value in just sitting there in what seems to be a dead, dry service. Because we don't have many of those around here. There's a value. It's not a waste. It's not a throwaway. Something happens every time you walk through that door with your Bible. And every time you put your tithe in the plate or on this platform. Something happens every time you lift up holy hands to praise the Lord. Something happens. Your neighbors know that you've gone to church again. Your children see you going to church, so they say it must be important. Your grandchildren see you making a step of righteousness. Our examples are so important. Children respond so much quicker, so much younger, respond more quickly. You know, the Hawaiian names, they have some very unusual names there. And we're waiting to get on the elevator, and someone asked this little cute little trick, just about so high, where did you all eat tonight? And she says a word I've been trying to work on all week, rattles it off. And that's over by, and she comes out with some more Hawaiian lingo. She's not Hawaiian. And her father kind of grinned. He said, if you have time, she'll teach you a lesson in a lot of things. I've never seen a little kid she just like you pulled a string. And I mean, and it was right. It was perfect. And I'm saying, I'm still humma, 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 you know. That's the first word of the restaurant, humma, humma. That's about as far as I could. I'd get it down, then I'd lose it. And this little trick has heard this. She's been here 2 or 3 days, and she's speaking all the things that adults are still stuttering and stumbling around. Listen, folks, we better educate them on the right thing, the good thing, all that really matters. Oh, we need to put our best foot forward and let children know that we love them. Satan is after our youth. Jesus taught us to go after the children. He said, forbid them not. In other words, let them be welcome to come. Forbid them not. Let's go after the youth. Godless education, a cult, and all the rest of the stuff. The answer for it is Jesus. On the 13th of this month, I was awakened. I went back to sleep, and 3 times, I got up and finally wrote it out on a legal pad. God has put his arms around America. And blessed us as no other nation on the face of the earth. The miracle of it is that God has kept his arms around America. America could have been destroyed. Are we so naive to think that we can guard every nuclear plant? That we can guard every refinery? You can drive by on a car. And if your mind is warped and twisted, you can start a destruction that would be chaotic. Folks, make no mistake about it. Thank God I'm for strong military. So let's get that behind us. There's only one thing that has kept the United States of America and going up in a puff of orange smoke. It's the grace of God. It's the keeping power of God. It's the angels of God. With as much of the world as hates us. And you say, well, they hate us because we have things. No, they don't just hate us because we have things. The battle, get this in your heads, folks. It's true in education. It's true in politics. It's true in everything we're facing. We're facing an all-out righteousness versus unrighteousness. Get that in your thinking. It's not because we're Americans. It's not just a thing of envy or And yeah, there's always has been. That Cain and Abel got into it and they were brothers. But please understand this before you turn on CNN and just mainline into your brain. Please understand this before you hear news and all of that. What we're facing now, however it shakes down, you can call it independent, you can call it Republican, you can call it whatever you want. Who is for righteousness? Not just my one single issue, not just my one or two little pet things. Well, it's going to cost me some money. I'd rather something cost me money and be on the side of righteousness. My God, everything can't be judged by the dollar. How it affects us or how it... I'm still on kids. You see, what we're coming back to, we're instilling in our kids that things are all that counts. Material things is all that counts. The latest movie is all that counts. The latest little demon toy is all that counts. The latest occultist thing out of Hollywood is all that counts. We're in a battle for righteousness versus unrighteousness. Good, bad, righteousness, unrighteousness. The thing we've come through. You say, why are evangelicals so strong on this same-sex marriage thing? Well, it's pretty simple. God torched two cities for the principle of it. Two cities. And it always has been this way. If people want to do it, they can do it. But don't shove it in my face. Your lifestyle is your own business, but don't shove it in my face. Don't make me pay for it. Don't penalize and tax our nation spiritually for it. In Romans chapter 1, it was sufficient to the fact that God gave them up. And this church has proven, I don't have to stand here and prove anything. Somebody walked up to me today and said, I'm dying with AIDS. You got a friend. You got a church that believes in you. You have a preacher that believes it. Not believes in your sin, but you have someone that will stand with you. And I could give illustrations that I'm not free to give because I'm just not free to do that. But people have come and said, here's the situation. I'll never come back to church again. I said, no, you don't. You come to church. You be here every time the doors open. We're your friends. And there was repentance and there was turning. And today they're in heaven. And some God brings through. So what I'm saying is not a hate message. I'm like God, I hate sin, but I love the sinner. But someone's got to open their mouth and preach the truth that God gave them up. So what is my message today? It's time for a greater level and measure of revival among our children. It's not optional. Dads and mothers, you need to pray for your children. You need to pray over your children. You need to pray over their bedroom. You need to pray over their personal effect. I know some people say, well, you're just one of those fanatics. Well, if that's what you say, that's what you say. I'd be in hell today if someone hadn't done that for me. I wouldn't be here today. Somebody loved me enough to care for me and watch out what I was doing and tell me no when I was wrong. And pray for me and cry out to God for me and thank God I'm born again, spirit filled, and I'm not what I would have been, could have been, should have been, ought to have been. But the grace of God's made the difference in Bob Nichols' life. What's true greatness? He made $10 billion, yeah? Boy, there's some big money in some places over in Hawaii. I mean, billions. They talk billions. They don't talk millions, those developments over there. But what shall a man profit if he gained the whole world, but he loses his own soul? And I'm not content with just me being there. I want my kids to be there. I want my grandchildren to be there. I want my children's children. And on down line, I want my family more than I want them to have things, more than I want them to have anything. I want them to have Jesus.